address to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
The woes. You know, God only issues a woe when there is something present and danger. And that's only if you're God's enemy, and that's only if you're not forewarned whereby in His name you're immune. So that's very important. But the knowledge of the woes is paramount. Now we know from Revelation chapter 12, and we're not going there, that the last three trumpets are woe trumpets. That means that's bad news for certain people. Not for you, because God protects you. He's not angry at you when you do His work. He rather comforts and protects you. So let's go naturally. What does the Bible have to say to you? Well, probably the best place to start is to start with a nation. And as much as we hear the word global, global economy, global peace, that's one worldism. And that's part prophecy. So we better check out and see what the woes are that are written to your part of the world, because you're going to contend with it. Now, again, as to how it affects you is strictly up to you. If you love the Lord, He's not angry at you, and He will go to no ends to protect you. If He is angry with you, He's going to do a little whittling. He's going to do a little pruning to get you shaped up, whereby He can use you as a vessel, as a tool, to put forth His word, His truth, whereby His truth can comfort millions of people. That's important. So, most people think, and this student of God's Word certainly does, that this 18th chapter has to do with the United States of America, along with the Americas connected thereto. In other words, when we say Americas, we mean the whole hemisphere. God set these Americas aside as a place of comfort in the wilderness for the woman, that when she fled there, she had comfort and protection there, had plenty, fields, waving fields of grain, and basically turned into now the policeman of the world. So don't ever think for a moment God would forget those people. We know, of course, that the house of Israel was jarred apart from the house of Judah. They are no longer one and the same, though they are all a part of the seed of Jacob. However, God deals with them separately and has for thousands of years. The house of Israel, the ten tribes, Ephraim they are called many times because he was the larger, went north and were taken into captivity, not by the Babylonians, but by the Assyrians. And they were taken north over the Caucasus Mountains, later many of them being called Caucasians. They don't know who they are. They've forgotten. As they migrated into Europe, and later many of them migrated to the Americas. Now, God does not play favors, but He does utilize that house to bring to pass the prophecies that He has written, whereby it would come to pass that is written concerning Abraham, basically the father of Israel, so to speak, that he would be a blessing to all peoples, not just a few, all peoples, and naturally that main seed, the horn of truth, Jesus Christ, anyone, all, believing upon Him, whosoever will, would have and be able to attain salvation. That does not release the house of Israel from any, or the house of Judah, or any of God's kings and queens from any of their duties that are written in prophecy. That is to say, you that have eyes to see and ears to hear. So, with that having been said, we begin with chapter 18, the great book of Isaiah. This is kind of an interesting chapter set aside. You could almost call it a parenthetical chapter. Verse 1 of chapter 18, Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. Did I say Ezekiel a moment ago? No. Well, the wheels are turning, huh? Okay. Verse 1. Read. Woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Now, many scholars have made the error down through the years saying, well, this is written to Ethiopia. What is that? What does beyond mean? It means way on beyond, okay? Well, we certainly, the Americas certainly are beyond. To Columbus's great surprise, and yet many long before him, they found it. And it was here. The word shadowing here is rustling, bustling even, if you would, with wings. We have a nation that has furthered probably wings more than any other nation. As a matter of fact, you all have heard of the Wright brothers. They did everything right, practically, except they had a few rough edges. And am I reading too much into this? Not in prophecy. Doesn't hurt to consider. Verse 2. They sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the waters, saying, go ye swift messengers to a nation scattered and peeled. This word scattered means tall and smooth-faced. To a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, never been defeated from that beginning. Never had a gate closed upon them. Have won so far all their victories, regardless of what some might write or think concerning Nam and Korea. We broke the back of communism there at an awesome price. For there, from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trotted down. Meted, this word in the Hebrew means line by line, disciplined, command by command. And certainly, trotted down whose land the rivers have spoiled. The rivers have spoiled what? How is this country divided?
Well, let's see. They said the other day that all the people east of the Mississippi, or the people west of the Mississippi, and then there's the Americas down by the Rio Grande, everything south of the border and everything north of the border. Rivers, basically, aside from Canada, our sister, Ephraim and Manasseh, making up those, that we have common ground. But we see that basically this nation, those great rivers have divided, have spoiled. The people are, you know, when you travel in foreign lands, probably you don't realize how tall Americans are in comparison. That's even you shorties, okay? We are huge. As a matter of fact, I'll never forget when I was in Japan for the first time. Naturally, we Marines had a very bad reputation before, and I happened to be in the first group of Marines that landed on Japan during the Korean conflict. I mean, they closed streets because we were supposedly had to kill our grandparents and I don't know what, all kind of stuff. You know, and Marines are softies in the heart. You know, they're terrible warriors. I mean, awesome warriors, but they've got big hearts, most of them. And but anyway, this scripture, this prophecy is true. And it can only fit one place. As a matter of fact, as far as sending these ambassadors, that goes both ways. And you might say, well, what are you talking about? Well, look at New York City. I mean, there's not much good I can say about New York City. Not the state of New York, but New York City. And I sure can't say too much good about the United Nations that sits there. Because it isn't really, in truth, run according to God's Word, but traditions of men, basically. And anytime you separate yourself from God's Word, then it finds itself displeasing to God. But then, basically, the square root, is it not pleasing to God if God predicted there would be global government, new world order, one worldism, and it's coming to pass, and He so picked our York City to bring the United Nations. Now, bulrushes were reeds, and many of you remember the documentaries of the bulrush vessels crossing even many, many years ago. Of course, our father didn't have to depend on papyrus, that's reeds, that's what paper comes from. He knew what would follow with the overshadowing wings, that travel would be considerably faster than that in the generation that he would be writing this to. So how fascinating it is that when we apply this, it can only fit one nation in this generation. Some might have had an argument with that before, saying, well, there are two superpowers. Well, not anymore. Okay. Not to discount the one that was, so to speak, because it's a lot more powerful because it's a little short on cash and wants more out of your pocket. They're squalling a little bit. A lot of nations are squalling for what's in your pocket. You might say, what do you mean in my pocket? This is your country. This is your nation. A nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. The very Constitution itself taken from this Word of God. Pull out a piece of change from your pocket. What does it say on that quarter or that half dollar? In God we trust. Now, not everybody does anymore. And people from the Canadas, you're part of it. This is the Americas, and God blesses America. Okay, the Americas. Okay, so verse 3 as we continue. All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye. You take a close look. When He lifteth up an ensign on the mountains, nations, and when He bloweth a trumpet, hear ye. He who? God. He's got 7 of them that are sounding. Not all at the same time. But they're beginning that call. And He has that ensign. That ensign that is at the head of the mountains is Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus the Christ. There is no other ensign. You're either under that banner, or, I'm sorry, you're in bad shape. Verse 4, for the Lord said unto me, I will take my rest. That means I'm going to sit back and watch. Now, deception, beloved of the world, through ambassadorship, through men's traditions, will begin to take over now. You've lived in it, amongst it, and have witnessed it. What God is saying, I'm not going to stop it. I'm going to take my rest. I'm going to just sit over here and see what you do, because I've given the Word and you've got power in it to take care of yourself. What are you going to do about it? Myself, I'm resting a while. And I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon herbs, and like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. Do you know what this does? Heat and humidity, or dew, ripens. It ripens whatever it is for harvest. And God says, I'm going to watch, and when you're ripe, I'm going to put in the sickle. When it's just right, I'm going to do some harvesting. Now, I don't know. Again, it's like this. If you're in good standing with Him, you don't have to worry, because He's got great rewards for you. But if you are biblically illiterate and have faith but don't know what to do, you might squeak by. But it'd be a lot better if you were a worthy servant that knew who you should follow. and that is to say the true Christ and not the fake, that you should rightly divide the Word of God, for it is the only knowledge there is. This man or any other man does not have all the knowledge. God, your Father, does. God gives gifts. Use those gifts, for they are without repentance. They're without recall. Once you have that gift, you've got it for the rest of your life. Now, you will be punished if you don't use it. Therefore, strive to... I'm not telling you to become a religious fanatic or anything of that nature, but use those gifts, and God will bless you. Don't use that gift, and He will curse you. Why? Because He will shape up His election quicker than anyone else. Why? He wants your attention, and He wants you whereby He can use you. He says, I'm going to sit back and watch this. All, bear in mind now, this is important information. All through the time of ripening and right up to the harvest, you're kind of on your own. Except you have His Word, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. But you got to have the Word to even be aware of that. Okay? He says, I'm not going to interfere with this one world system. I'm going to let it come to fruition. I'm going to let it develop. So don't think it's going away. But don't think it's God either, for it's a fake beast system. You don't have to be afraid of it. You know how to beat it. You know how to... you know, when you become wise enough from God's Word that you can become financially successful by beating them at their own game, you're getting there. Okay? Enough said. Verse 5, God, again, I remind you, I'm going to rest, sit back, and watch until I get them just right for the harvest. 5, for the harvest, when the bud is perfect, not until then, when the bud is perfect and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, he shall both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks and take away and cut down the branches. You know... you're the vine, Christ is the vine, and you're the branches, and God's the pruner. You know? You turn into dead wood, and guess what's going to happen to you? Dead wood is something that decides, like God does, I'm going to rest a while. I'm not going to have anything to do with the Father. I'm not going to study His Word. I thank God that I began studying His Word in depth at a very young age, in many years of experience, and with His gift. I thank Him very much for even the pruning that He has given me, and He does it often, okay? But along with the pruning comes blessing, so don't forget to thank Him for both, and you will be successful. Verse 6, in other words, what am I saying to you? You don't have to worry about this pruning if you're in shape. Otherwise, you deserve it. Stand still for it. You're going to get it. Verse 6. They shall be... who is they? Doesn't do any good to read the word if you don't know who the theys are. The enemy, the foe. They shall be, the foes that is, left together unto the fowls of the morning, I'm sorry, of the mountains, and to the beasts of the earth, and the fowls, that's old vultures, shall sum upon them, and all the beasts of the earth shall winter upon them. Well, I tell you what, through the world economy, we have a good example of this. And the G7 just met. They didn't accomplish anything, but they did a lot of talking. Interesting, as you sit back and observe the global economy. Isn't it amazing how they advertise we have a $70 billion surplus that nobody knows what to do with? Why not help all these bankers that have gotten in trouble loaning money to various nations? Because if you think you're helping the nations, you're wrong. The money this nation gives to that just goes to pay the bankers back. They said, thank you very much. And the poor people have nothing, and it all comes under the guise not of the Federal Reserve, which is private owned, but it comes under the guise now of the World Bank, the World Reserve Bank. Why? Well, hey, bankers got to make money, right? Well, God knows. God knows. And He's watching. And it's interesting when you see the news of today that is the prophecy that was written thousands of years ago. And you might say, well, does that make you bitter? No, praise God. Hey, we're that much closer to the end. Okay, let her rip. All right? God's going to continue blessing you anyway if you're in the right trench. Okay? Keep bringing that ammunition, Father. We'll fire them off. And He does. I'm thankful for the platform. We have one of the largest platforms in the world today. That's one of the best kept secrets in this nation and the world as far as that's concerned. Why? We don't brag about it. We just plow, and we plow deep. Verse 7, in that time shall the present be brought unto the Lord of hosts of a people. This is a very interesting present here. You might check that out in the Hebrew. You'll have a little private study all of your own. Take it to the prime, all right? Find out what kind of present it is. Unto the Lord of hosts of a people scattered and peeled. That's tall and smooth-faced. And from a people terrible from their beginning hitherto. Never lost a war. Don't get on their case or they will take you down. A nation meted out, that's well disciplined and controlled. By who? By God, not man. And trodden underfoot, anything that gets in its way. Whose land the rivers have spoiled or divided, better translated, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, the Mount Zion. That's where ultimately it will all end, for all roads lead to Holy Zion ultimately. But not until the true Christ stands there. The false Christ shall stand there first. Now, we have covered basically the prophecy that covers this particular nation. Now, let's get to a few woes, if we could. Turn back to chapter 5 in this great book. Chapter 5 of Isaiah. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now I sing to my well-beloved the song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. Now, I want you to make a note of Luke chapter 20, verses 9 on forward concerning the parable of the vineyard. Because it tells you briefly what this is talking about, or rather really in more detail. Inasmuch as God had a vineyard and He let it out to men, He expected a nice harvest, and what did He get? Zippo. The bankers took the garden over. Well, the land, the tenders took it over. In-house joke, okay? And he finally sent his sons. Oh, surely they're going to love him. And they killed him. They crucified him. And that kind of leaves the vineyard unattended except for God's election and how they're supposed to tend it. How are you doing? How are you squeezing the grapes lately, friend? I speak spiritually. This word fruitful hill, I want every one of you to do a home study on that, and you'll find that it's the horn, can be translated, the horn of the Son of Oil. Now, who is the Son of Oil? Well, what is oil? Olive oil, the oil of our people. It's the anointing oil. What does Christos, Christ, mean? Oil, the anointed one. Horn is power, strength. So under the strength of the anointed Son, there's only one, And that's the only begotten, that is to say, Jesus Christ. So that we understand what vineyard we're talking about and who actually controls this world. Now, people think it's controlled by different sources. Don't you ever be confused about it. It's important as to who controls this world. It's your Father. Verse 2, and he fenced it, left it in good, I mean, trimmed it up, fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choice vine. I mean, it was in good shape. Now, if any of you have ever had to live in Arkansas where you get a garden in shape by tossing out all the rocks and fencing it just right, you know that's hard work, especially if when you do it on the field sides, all right? And many of you that drive back on these country roads and you say, whoa, look at that rock fence there. Hey, those were taken from the field, people. It wasn't really planned as a fence. It's just getting it out so the garden could be planted, or the field. Anyway, and built a tower in the midst of it. In other words, I set a watchman in the middle of it to make sure it stayed there and safe. And also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Let me give you a better translation. Poison berries. You can't make wine from poison berries unless you like getting poisoned. It puts you on a high that you never experienced before, I guarantee you. All right? You people don't deal in things like that, so you know what I'm talking about. But he's literally saying it turned out to be poison. I expected better from it. He did seven things to put it up in good shape, whereby anyone could tend it and take care of it. But man turned it into bitterness, poison. Do a little work on the Hebrew there and you'll find out. He says, it stinks. You know, a little graphic, but that's what the word means. Poison berries that stink. Verse 3, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What he's saying here, and I don't want you to miss it, is judge between my truth and this world. Can you do that? It's important that you judge between God's truth and this world. The world here means the world governments. Are they tending it like he did? That's laughable. When you look at the mess this world is in today, and to think it was at one time perfect, no pollution, everything was wonderful. Boy, man is certainly high tech. Verse 4. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? What else could I have done to make it more perfect? The soil yields her fruit to you. We see a good example of that here in this nation, in Canada. We export more wheat and grains than any other place in the world. I mean, it's a good vineyard. Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. That's something you should ask yourself. When God left this world in such good condition, how did the poison berries get there? What he wants you to know, somebody had to plant it. It didn't just happen. He didn't plant poison berry seeds. Somebody else did. Read the parable of the tares. You know what I'm talking about. Apply it to it. Because it was the sons of Satan that brought it to pass. I expected good and I ended up with evil, just like it was in the first earth age when he expected Satan to take care of the mercy seat and Satan wanted to sit on it. Verse 5, and now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. You want to know what's going to happen? Listen to it. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. I'm going to throw down those protecting fences, and deception is going to just sweep over you if you let it. Now, it's one thing for it to sweep over the nation, before it's to sweep through the cobwebs of your mind, don't let it happen. Get rid of the cobwebs. Hedge up around you a wall, for God is your wall. Even in this generation, documentation, Ezekiel 38 and 39. Who can see that wall? You can, and God can, and that's all you care about. Let somebody try to bounce against it. In other words, he said, I'm throwing it down and I'm opening it up for anybody to graze that's hoss enough. Well, boy, we've got some really sharpies in this world that lay awake all night long figuring out how to get what's in your pocket. Okay? They make a lifetime of planning. Don't think they don't. Does that change? Not for you, it doesn't. You're supposed to be smarter. You're supposed to be wiser than the serpent. Well, how do I get that way? Right here. Right in this word. This is why God never gives anyone more than they can take care of, because somebody will strip them pretty quick. Okay? And the smarter you get and the better you can take care of it, the more he'll give you. He will furnish all the bricks you need to build his work, but you've got to do the work. Otherwise, forget it. Verse 6, and I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns, called Kenites, and I will, that's my word, okay? And I will also command the clouds that they rain not, that they rain no rain upon it. The latter day rain, what is it? Truth. I'm going to see that the truth doesn't just rain down on the people unless it's the people that wants to search it out. I'm going to see to it. Well, we got churches all over this world. What do you mean the truth doesn't rain down? Well, go sit in one of them for a while and see how much of God's word you're taught. Get a bunch of one-verse revolving revs in there that if you take one verse a week, it takes you 600 years to make it through this Bible, and you may be dead and gone by then. Verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. Do you want to know what that vineyard is? I'll tell you again. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. That's what you get to grow there, not Kenites. Judah. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression for righteousness, but behold, a cry. That's what he saw. Look around you. Hey, woe, this is what we came here for, don't do it. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Do you know what happens when you overcrowd animals or people? It's disease. Filth. Not enough waste to even run off the waste from the bodies. Without pollutants and chemicals and robbery. What happens when you've got one barrel full of beautiful apples and you put one bad one in the bottom? What happens? The whole bunch rots. Now, I realize in this television audience that there are many of you that are anchored and financially and otherwise in a city, but it would be a lot more pleasant if you were trained and skilled enough to be able to cut it in the fields. I mean, that takes really high tech. Otherwise, you starve to death. Many farmers will witness to that. You got to be good at what you do. But I know you are, and God will take care of you wherever you are. He will never leave thee, nor will he forsake thee. But this is the advice. If you're in a place where crime is rampant, for heaven's sakes, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell you what you should do. Verse 9. in mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. He's not talking about a vacant city. He's not talking about houses that are void of people, but houses that are void of intelligence and truth and knowledge. No truth there. No one to take the word and bring the sword forward. He said, you can have a whole city and you're lucky if you find one truth in it. What does that say to God? Well, how can he say it's empty? He looks at souls that are eternal, not souls that are going to die. He counts souls that are going to die as nothing, because they're not going to last. He's in it for the long haul, the long investment. And he wants every child to make it that can, and that's why he chose you, is to see that you plant those seeds, whether they grow or not, to bring people out of that trap. Because you have that truth, you have that knowledge. And when you touch a soul, you, through Christ, give it eternal life. Otherwise, it's dead, spiritually dead, deader than a hammer. It's not there. Nobody home. Hello. Verse 10. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard. What was the vineyard now? Tell me again. Well, it was Israel. Yea, ten acres of vineyard shall yield one bath. Do you know how much that is? That's 1 gallon. It's really not quite a full gallon. Do you know how quick you'd go out of business if you were in the great business and you only got a gallon for every 10 acres? Whoa. And the seed of a homer shall yield an ephah. In other words, you plant 10 bushels and you're going to only get one. Now figure that out for yourself. How in the world can you make a living if it takes 10 bushels to make one? You better take the seed and keep it. At least you'd be good for 10 years right there. And then die. Okay? In other words, 10 into 1 is reverse profit. You are losing. And when you try something without God, let me reword this. When you try something without God being the sinner and you the servant, you better watch out. Because that's what you get. That city that maybe only has one or two in it, you are going to get that sprinkle of God's elect from it, though, and they're worth it. We go into hundreds and hundreds of millions of homes, and we only get a sprinkle. Yeah, it runs up into the hundreds of thousands. But compared to what we reach, I mean, that's pretty fine sifting, friend. That's the condition this world is in. This word is true. But one grain of God's precious elect is worth the sifting. Ready for the next one? 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink. They continue until night, till wine inflame them. Strong wine is not strong drink if you take a little for the good of your tummy. Wine is strong drink when you're so disappointed that you only got 1 gallon out of 10 acres that you drink the whole gallon. Okay? Then it becomes strong drink. Alcohol in small doses is not strong. Alcohol, regardless of what kind it is, whether it's cactus juice, it's called tequila, I'm going to tell you what, cactus juice, it sure doesn't take very much to be strong, okay? But how do I know? Well, just know that I know, okay? Verse 12. I must stop there for a moment. What were we talking about, these poison berries? Don't turn that that is good into poison for you and your family, okay? Verse 12, and the harp and the viol, the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feast. I mean, it looks pretty good. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. I mean, they count God as nothing. God is somebody that whenever you really get in trouble and can't do anything about it, you finally get around to turning to Him. And then you pray like your life depended on it. Now, God doesn't need people like that. But that is to say, as far as being able to use them as a servant, they got to do a lot of growing up before He can count on and mark them as dependable. Otherwise, they're going to run like a bunch of rabbits the first time a storm hits. God uses dependable people. People that have been tried and tested. And some might say, I just can't understand that testing. By verse 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. They've allowed themselves to be bound and shackled. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Thirst for the living water and lack of knowledge because they're ignorant of God's Word, so biblically illiterate it hurts even from the pulpits of this land. They're biblically illiterate. Or they would teach God's Word whereby they could help people rather than hurt them. Well, this is a free nation. There's nobody captive here. Oh? Have you ever heard of usury? I mean, sometimes if you think you're not held captive, you take out your bank book or your house payment books. Wow, my house is worth $130,000. Oh, is it? Who owns it? Well, I do. Oh, well, then you're not making payments. Well, yeah. Well, check it out. You're probably paying yourself $10 or $15, and you're probably paying the banks $350 to $400 a month. It's called interest. And I'm going to tell you something. You are so loyal being a good Christian person that you're going to sit there in that jail. Now, I'm not running your house down. All right, thank God for it. I'm just telling you, the prophecy has come to pass. You're captive there. They sell some poor Christian a car that he's going to be paying 4 years on. And, you know, loaned him the money, and I mean, they're raking it in, and he's out there on Sunday morning instead of studying God's Word, and he's polishing it. It's my ball and chain. Got to get it right here. I mean, we've really got some sharp people. Now, I know you young people have to borrow money to get a car to go to work. That's fine. But be conservative and work your way out of it. Usury will put you in captivity. Verse 14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself, boy has it, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. It what? Hell. Be careful. Watch the woes. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. The people of this world, the one-worlders, have got a long ways to fall. So you get pruned a little bit every day. Well, they got a big pruning coming. You thank God for your pruning, that He loves you enough, that He keeps you in shape, that He can use you. Otherwise, you're worthless. You're no good to the kingdom if God can't use you. If you're not producing fruit, forget it. We all produce fruit when you're delivered up before the false Messiah. So don't get on any guilt trips here from the teaching. 16, and the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. It's going to happen. You can count on it. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. 18, ready for another real quickly, and we're going to expedite this a little bit. Woe
unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity. That means falsehood, lies. And sin, as it were, with a cart rope. Do you know what this means? They draw falsehood, lies, false teachings around by the cart load. Just telling one isn't enough. They have a whole wagon load of it. You don't have to study God's Word because you're going to be gone. Now, you know, when somebody tries to tell you that you don't need knowledge and wisdom, there's something wrong with them. Don't listen to them. They've got a whole cart load of it, and they'd like to get you in their cart, too. Okay? Are you going to go? I pray not. Listen to God's Word, not this man or any other man, without documenting them in the Word of God. 19. They say, let him make speed, oh, hurry, and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. Show us God's judgment. We're so anxious to see God's judgment. You better keep an eye out around you, friend. A lot of it's being seen already, all right? Verse 20, ready for another? Whoa! We got about 6 in here and 7 in the following chapter. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, that put the prince of darkness as Messiah and the prince of light as Satan. Be careful, friend. It's happening today. When someone tells you to accept the first Messiah that appears on this earth and let him fly you away, that's Satan. If anyone is so biblically illiterate they can't read Mark 13 and know which Messiah comes first, is in a heap of hurt. Making right wrong and wrong right. It won't fly. Well, how do I know? Right here, God's Word. Again, not this man or any other man, without checking him out in this Word. If he's not skilled in this Word, he cannot help you. You grow skilled in it yourself and help yourself, because no one will be between you and God on Judgment Day. Verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. They have no vision of God. Only self. It happens. That's a really bad woe. It really is. It's a very serious one. 22, it was a short one too. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. In other words, when they're drunk, they're mighty brave. They're going to serve God when they're drunk, and they're going to conquer the world. But guess what kind of spirits it is that's talking? It's spirits coming out of a bottle. Nobody listens to a drunk. I want to say that again. Nobody listens to a drunk. Verse 23. Which justifieth the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. By what? By catering to a lie. By backing up falsehood by numbers. That's why numbers should never mean anything to you. Truth is truth. You and God make a majority when it comes to doing His work. If it comes to that. 24. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their roots shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. Don't worry about the poison berries. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Hey, you got a lot of people that are good family friends, and don't hate them for that. But you say, hey, let's sit down and study the Word. Oh, no, not that old Bible. Oh, no. Let's go do something that's fun. Have you ever heard that?
start saying, well, do you know where that's written in prophecy? Don't talk. Please don't talk to me about that kind of stuff. They don't want to hear. And you're wasting your time if you mess with a fool. Because someone that works with a fool is a bigger fool than the fool. That is to say, now understand what I'm saying. We have time for everyone. But if someone refuses the word, that's all we've got. For Christ is that word. Okay? So don't cast your pearls before swine. Christ can say it a lot better than we can he not? 25. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled. If you want to make him hot, have a go with it. Against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them, not for them, against them, and have smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. I mean, he's saying, here's my saving hand. Believe, and I'll save you. Otherwise, do you really have the grasp of this cases where their carcass was torn in the midst of the streets? Do you know what that means? What was in the streets at the time of this writing? They had donkeys and cattle and everything walking down that street. He said, you're like the dung in the street. That's all you amount to, is a bunch of dung. God talks very plain. When he doesn't consider you any better than dung, you're in trouble. You need to make some changes. That's a bad wolf. 26. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations. That's a sign, okay, from far. And will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. That's hiss like a snake charmer. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. You know what that is? That's the enemy nations, not the good ones. 27. None shall be weary, nor stumble among them, nor shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed. That means they're not going to stop and rest. Nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. In other words, they're not going to get hurt. They're not going to be lame. They're going to come at you. In other words, when God turns loose, the enemy... Now, first of all, don't panic on me. Don't be frightened. When you're in God, you don't have to be frightened. This is against God's enemies and those that haven't corrected the woes. All right? Otherwise, you're like the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. You won't be singed. Can't hurt you. So don't let this kind of thing frighten you or worry you. You're immune to it. You're above it. You have power over it. 28. Whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent, their horses' hooves shall be counted like flint and their wheels like a whirlwind. There's just no stopping deception and lies and falsehood as it comes down in these end times. It's coming. He's coming in prosperously and peacefully, and most are going to believe his lies when he begins to pay off all their debts and turns them free, if they love him. When he says, I am Jesus, Messiah, only he's a liar. The thing is, do you know the difference? Their roaring shall be like a lion. They shall roar like young lions, yet they shall roar and lay hold of the prey and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. Nobody's going to try to help. You must make your own mind up. You must decide for yourself. You have immunity. It's free. He paid the price. Will you accept it? 30. And in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold, darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. In other words, you're going to see the smoke of the locusts coming out of the pit at that time. Do you know what precedes this in closing? Do you know what precedes it? I wonder if you could recognize yourself in the mirror of prophecy of the news on today's television, if you were to read it. What precedes it? Go back to chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. That is to say, the bread of life, the truth, and the living water. That's Jesus Christ. The mighty man and the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, and the ancient. In other words, I'm going to take their teachers away from them. I'm going to fill their pulpits with uneducated people, letting the blind lead the blind. That's what he's saying. 3. The captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artifactor and the eloquent orator. In other words, all wisdom comes from Christ. He says, I'm going to yank it. Well, let me ask you something. Have you listened to a wise orator lately? Let me ask it a little different way. Have you listened to a spin doctor lately? How close, I mean, even just tell me, how close did you get to the truth? Verse 4. And I will give children to be princes, and babes shall rule over them. That is to say, adult people with babies' minds will be in your high places. I mean, I'm going to tell you what. If you can't recognize that. Verse 5. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. You're going to have a bunch of smart-mouthed kids in the nation. Thank God for our wonderful youth. They're not smart mouth; they're wise mouth. Okay, but listen, hey, there is, and the base against that means the base against the honorable. That means a criminal against a wise man. Let me tell you something. Where I grew up, if someone misspoke to an elder, hey. If that elder didn't do it, when you got home, you were woodshed born. Nobody ever did anything against an elder. Hey, if you can't see the leadership today, that they act like a bunch of babes, babies are smarter than that. I mean, that prophecy has come to pass. You're in it. Like it or lump it. But the main thing is you stay above it. I know it's irritating. I know it bothers. But don't worry. God didn't say, I'm going to sit down and go to sleep. He said, I'm going to take my rest. I'm going to watch. The word means watch, okay? He still is watching every move. And know that part of it is his plan. And mature, whereby you can accept. And let me give you a bit of advice. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. All right? Let God's plan unfold. I thank Him for His Word. The woes are a very serious subject. Watch yourself. Educate yourself in His Word. Be prepared. For that nation, He depends a great deal on being more than the policeman of the world. He expects that that you trust in His Word as well as you trust in God, and know that you are in those times and you are in the hemisphere that He has chosen to bring some of that stability. Thank Him for that. Father, we thank You for Your precious Word. Be with us this day.